The title for tonight's message is called The Old Lady is the Key. The Old Lady is the Key. Now, gentlemen, this is not about our wives, so this won't be about marriage per se. But as we look at Luke chapter 2, we'll look at an old lady here and see what she is the key for here. Luke chapter 2, verses 36 through 38. Luke chapter 2, verse 36. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about fourscore and 4 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she, coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Israel. All right, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you again for the day that you've given us. We thank you for the opportunity that you've given us to all be in your house tonight, Lord. We thank you for the message that you've given me tonight, Lord. Pray that you'd guide and direct in the presentation of it, Lord. Pray that as we look into your word, that you'd help me in rightly dividing the things of your word. And pray that it would be honor and glorifying to you and that we would all grow from it, Lord. And we just pray all these things in Christ's name. Amen. All right. So when Pastor Fred was here, week and a half, 2 weeks ago, right, he was preaching on prayer, right? And he talked about the need for self-examination, right, and the asking of why. We also talked about praying for boldness and for peace and for rebels, right? So today, we're going to take a look at a couple of the verses that he looked at and see if we can take it a step further, right? Because he used verses out of the Gospels that pointed out the need and the importance for prayer out of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, right? And as we look at the context of these verses, hopefully a bigger picture, another step will occur and become visible. So let's take a look at Matthew chapter 26. And what I want to kind of point out tonight is that as we read through these verses and a little bit more of the context than he did, that we'll notice in each of these verses about prayer that there's another word that is tied with prayer, all right? And that's what we're going to focus on tonight. Matthew chapter 26, starting in verse 40 and reading 40 and 41. Matthew 26, verse 40, and he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep and saith unto Peter, what, could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. All right, so that was one section that he went to. Mark chapter 13. Turn to Mark chapter 13, verse 31 through 33. Mark chapter 13, verse 31 through 33. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. But of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Take ye heed, watch, and pray, for ye know not when the time is. And then lastly, Luke chapter 21. If you turn there, Luke chapter 21. Verses 34 through 36. Luke chapter 21, verses 34 through 36. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and the cares of this life, and so that the day come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore, and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. So now hopefully, as we've read through these verses, Pastor Fred focused on one of the verses in each of those sections, but as we tied it in with the bigger context, there's another word that was attached to it. And I hope that you saw it because the word is watch. In each of those passages of Scripture, it wasn't just pray. Peter, why couldn't you pray 1 hour? It was, Peter, why couldn't you watch 1 hour? Okay? So that's what we're going to focus on tonight. Now, the word watch means to be awake. So hopefully you're watching tonight. Be alert. Be on guard. And to be attentive. right? Why do we need to be attentive, right? These things kind of remind us of other verses in the New Testament, like 1 Peter 5:8, for example. Be sober, be vigilant, right? Goes along with watching. You gotta pay attention in order to be vigilant, right? Remember Peter in Matthew 26, verse 40, he was rebuked for not watching. In Mark 13, we are warned to take heed to watch, okay? So in thinking about these things, I'm like, okay, that's great. What are we supposed to watch for? And then I thought of Anna back in Luke 2, and that's what we're going to look at now. It's Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, verses 36 through 38. And it came to my mind that Anna is the key to this, at least in my mind, and that's how we got this message. So that's where we're going. So as we look at Anna, she's here for three verses. But her importance is very great, all right? So let's take a look at her. And there was one Anna, great, we knew that. She's a prophetess, all right? So what's a prophetess? A prophetess is someone who hears and speaks for God. So hears God and speaks for God. And the way it's presented in Luke chapter 2, it's not a question, it's a fact. Everybody knows that's Anna, she's a prophetess. Okay, good. So she hears God and she speaks for God. And it gives her lineage, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. All right, this Phanuel, this is the only time he's mentioned, but it gives her lineage. Why? Because it helps us to tie her in as a real live person, right? Someone we can associate with, right? And then it gives her age here. She was of a great age, which is, I'm sure all women would love to have their age documented for all eternity, but there it is. She was of a great age. She had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity, and she was a widow of about 84 years, which, and we'll stop there, right? So she was a widow for 84 years. So she's at least 84. She was married for 7. She wasn't born married, so we'll give her 13 years graciously. So 13 plus 7 plus 84 is 104 years. So she's at least 104 years old. And what is this lady doing? She departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayer night and day. All right, so she departed not from the temple. She's a widow that lives in the temple. She's been there a long time. Well, what did she do then while she was in the temple? Her job, air quotes, was to fast and to pray. Okay, so the question is, she's doing this night and day. So that's a time-consuming process that she's going through, right? The fastings and prayer. This was her ministry. It says she served God. So this is her ministry. This was her service. As I learned recently, acts of servants of service is a love language, right? So this is her love language. She's serving, and she's serving who? She's serving the God that she loves. How? By prayer and by fasting. It's interesting. So how does she do this then? Because this is not just a one day out of her life event. It is not just a little revival they had in the temple for prayer. This is her life, night and day. So how does she do this? How does she do this? Clearly, she's moved on past the dear Lord, bless daddy and mommy and all the missionaries type prayers, right? So she's got some sort of substance. She's got some sort of something she's watching for that allows her to pray night and day, all right? So what is she praying for? What does she know that we don't know? So let's take a look at Luke chapter 21. We read verses 34 through 36 earlier, but we're going to take an even wider look at the context of it. So Luke chapter 21, Matthew, Mark, Luke, Luke chapter 21. Luke chapter 21, and we'll go all the way back to verse 25. Luke chapter 21, verse 25 through 36. And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of heaven shall be shaken, and then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. And he spake to them a parable. Behold the fig tree and all the trees. When they now shoot forth, ye see and know of your own selves that summer is now nigh at hand. So likewise ye, when ye see these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. And take heed to yourself, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore, and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. All right, so now as we look at this big context that we've got here, starting off in verse 25, we see that there's signs. We have signs in the sun, we have signs in the moon and the stars, and there's distress of nations, and there's perplexity, and the sea is roaring, and sounds like a fantastic time all around, right? So much so that in verse 26, we have men's hearts failing them for fear and looking after those things which are coming on the earth. The powers of heaven shall be shaken. All right? So there's a lot of activity going on. So when you start to read through these verses 25 and 26, it kind of reminds me anyway, hopefully it reminds you, of things that you start to see in Revelation. Right? Okay? So we start to see the things that point out to us that the end is near, right? The end is coming. And verse 27 goes on with that point. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. So they're going to see the Son of Man coming. For us, that's our redemption. That's what we're looking for. That's what we're waiting for. That's what we're watching for, right? But for the unsaved, what comes with that? That's judgment that comes with that, right? Okay? So when we look, we know that our redemption draweth nigh. Okay? So we have the fact that the end is coming, that judgment is near. We can be grateful for our salvation, right? And pray for the salvation of others. Okay? Now, verses 29 through 33 reiterates that same point again, strengthens that point. And he spake to them a parable. Behold the fig tree and all the trees. When they shoot forth, right? So we have this fig tree in verse 30. And know of your own selves that summer is now nigh at hand. So you can see, it's warm outside right now. We want to think spring is nigh at hand. We're hoping spring is nigh at hand. But in Wisconsin, we know better. We know something else is still coming before spring gets here, right? But it's nigh. It's nigh. It's almost March. And because it's March, that means it's almost June. And that's practically summer, right? Verse 31 starts off with, so likewise. So because you can see things start to happen in the world that spring is coming, so likewise, when ye see signs and wonders and stuff happening, you know, hey, our Lord is coming back, right? Likewise, the kingdom of God is nigh. Verse 32, verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. So what the Lord is doing there is saying, okay, my word, the things that I've said, the things that we have in Revelation, guess what? They will be fulfilled, right? There's no question. It's going to happen, right? So now, in 1 Peter 5:8, be sober. So we need to think, wow, the Lord's really serious about what he said. And what he said is serious stuff. And there's judgment for the unsaved that comes with that. So what should we watch for? Right? As we're living our lives, we should see the unsaved and go, okay, I can pray for that person. Right? We can be thankful in a setting like this that we're all saved. Right? We're saved. I'm saved. I don't know about you, but I am. So, you know, on a Wednesday night, I'm going to assume most of you are saved. Right? Okay, so that's what's happening there. Okay? So we can be thankful. We can be thankful together. In a couple of weeks, we're going to remember together as we take communion. Right? What are we remembering? What the Lord did for us and what the Lord is keeping us from, right? Very good. Because these things that are going to happen, that judgment that is going to happen on the unsaved is a guarantee, right? So as we go into verse 34 starts off with and, right? That's a conjunction. That's taking these two concepts and mashing them together. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and the cares of this life, so that day come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. So we're being warned. Who is here? Who is Jesus speaking to? If you go back to Luke 21, verse 45, we get a glimpse of what's happening there. Because chapter 20 runs into verse 21 and just it continues on there. And verse 45 tells us, then in the audience of all the people, he said to his disciples, right? So his focus is primarily the disciples, but there are other people within earshot, right? We know the scribes and Pharisees are there. We know that just people in general are there. And he's trying to tell them, and take heed to yourselves. Why? Lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting, drunkenness, and the cares of this life, so that day come upon you unawares. Right? So overcharged. We understand what over means. Overburdened, overcharged, overpriced. Over. We get over. Over easy. That's different. Right? Okay, but what are you overcharged with? You're overcharged with surfeiting. Because we all do that. We're like, I don't know what surfeiting means. Surfeiting means to overindulge in the realms of eating, okay? Always known as gluttony, right? Drunkenness. What is drunkenness? The overindulgence in drinking, right? And in the cares of this life, right? In Sunday school, we talked about the parable of the sower, right? And the thorny ground. What does the thorny ground do? Chokes you out, right? Creeps in. Gets you all tangled in and chokes you out, right? The cares of this life. Because like that parable, all of these things are designed to dull the senses, right? You're so worried about money. You're so worried about your job. You're so worried about your car. You're so worried about your kids. What do? We stress eat. We stress drink, right? That's what the world does. That's what the world does. What are we as Christians supposed to do? Cast all our cares upon ourselves so we can internalize them and kill ourselves, right? With stress and the, no, what are we supposed to do? Cast all our cares upon Him. Why? Because He cares for us, right? Verse 35 tells us, for as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. What are these things designed to do? What is the overindulgence in eating? What is the drunkenness? What is the cares of this life designed to do? Right? It's designed to entrap us, designed to snare us. Designed, I don't know if you've ever seen an animal caught in a snare. Right, one of those, I don't know if you've ever watched Bugs Bunny, Roadrunner, Wile E. Coyote, back in the day, right? He puts that little rope noose out on the ground with some bird seed in there. Roadrunner comes by, eats it, and boom, and he's gone before the snare takes off, right? Wile E. comes in there, boop, and he's up in the cliff now because he got snagged, right? He's just dangling there by his foot. Well, are you an effective Christian if you're caught up in the tree or whatever, dangling by your foot? No. You're pretty much useless when you're up in a tree, right? Who wants to snare us? 1 Peter 5:8 tells us, right? Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, right? 1 Peter 5:8. Right? 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Right? So, if you were in the African safari, because I know we all like to take these trips, and your vehicle runs out of gas, dusk is setting over the wilderness, and you're like, gulp. Right? What comes out at night? Lions. Hungry lions, because that's the time they feed. That's the time they hunt. Right? Some of us are going to be more tasty than others. Right? But that's what the devil is. That's what he's like. That's what he's like. And he doesn't want to just sample you. He wants to devour you. So as a devoured Christian, not a devout Christian, a devoured Christian, are you any good? No. Right? And why is Satan wanting to snare you? To keep you from being a productive Christian. Okay? And this is where it flips, remember? That if you've been in Sunday school, we've talked about how the whole time through the Gospels, Jesus is trying to flip people from the physical into the spiritual. And that's what's happening here. It's not a physical warfare. It's not a physical enemy, right? Because I didn't see any devouring lions today, but you know he's there and you can see his influence, right? That's what's going on there. We are then supposed to, in this spiritual warfare, back to Luke chapter 2, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Luke chapter 2, verse 36 tells us to watch. Luke chapter 2, verse 36. Nope, that was where we said. Where am I? Luke 21, sorry. Luke 21. We'll get back to Luke chapter 2 in a minute. Luke chapter 21, verse 36. Watch ye therefore. So remember, we've talked about, and pastors talked about, and Pastor Fred talked about, therefore. Why is therefore, therefore, for therefore? It's all the stuff that preceded it, right? So because of the end that's coming, because of the judgment that's coming, because of the snare that the devil's laying out for you, what do you think you ought to do? Oh, watch. Because of those things, watch. And pray always, that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man, right? Watching, therefore, what's going on? And praying always. What does that mean? It means that you're praying with your spiritual eyes open. You're watching. You're watching for things to pray for, right? Let's go back to Luke chapter 2. For real this time. Luke chapter 2. So back to Anna. What does Anna know? Anna knows that the Messiah is coming, right? She's been paying attention. She's been watching. She knows that the Messiah is coming. You can tell that in verse 38. And she, coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. Anna knew that the Messiah was coming, just like we know that our Lord is coming again, right? How did that affect her life? She was watching for him. She was watching for him. And when she saw him, she gave thanks. How does that affect our lives? We should be watching for him. We should be giving thanks. We should be remembering what he did for us. But then because we know he's coming again and the judgment that is guaranteed to come with him, we should be praying and telling others. Anna also knows that worldliness is a snare. And it's a snare of Satan to keep you from seeing Christ and from doing his work. Well, how is that in there? Well, think about what happens. How many people are in the temple at that time? Well, we know that the Pharisees are there. We know that Anna's there. She just came in. We know that Simeon's there. We know that Mary and Joseph are there. Temple is not a quiet place. It's a hub of social interaction, right? So there's other people that are around. How many people knew that, hey, the Messiah just showed up? Two people. Out of all those that are there. Why? She's watching. What are the other people doing? They're like Martha. They're cumbered about with much busyness. They're doing religious things. They're in the temple. That's a good thing. I'm in the temple. You're in the church tonight. That's great. But are you watching? Are you watching? So what is Anna doing? What is Anna doing? I don't know if you've ever heard pastors in general say before that one of their favorite hobbies is people watching. This is just a bizarre thing, right? If you think about it from a human perspective, you like go to the mall or you go to the park and you sit there and you watch people. Right? That's not creepy at all, right? But what are they watching for? What is Anna doing? Let's turn to 1 Peter 4, 7. James, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7 says, "But the end of all things is at hand. Be therefore sober and watch unto prayer." Watch unto prayer. That phrase is what is driving Anna. She is watching unto prayer. She lives in the temple. Night and day, she is there. If something happens in the temple, bet money she knows. But there's no gambling, so don't do that. Right? She knows what's happening there. She sees it. She hears it. She knows what's happening there. How many people go through the temple each week? A bunch of people, right? How many people go through here in a week? Over 100, right? Easy, okay? So she's in that social center. It's the information that she gathers there is better than the Jerusalem barber shop or the salon, right? That's what's happening. So she sees and hears everything. The temple's the place that everybody comes to. It is the social center. So what does she see? What does she hear? The little comments that a husband and wife will make. The kid running around undisciplined. Right? These are the things that she sees and hears. The well-behaved, the person who's hobbling that wasn't hobbling last week, those types of things. And then what does she do about it? She prays about it. She makes that mental note. She's 104, probably got it more than me, right? So she makes that mental note and goes, yeah, I need to pray for that person. Prays for that person, right? She's praying for the salvation of others because they're looking for redemption. Guess who she just saw? The Messiah, right? She prays against the worldliness that's a snare to others. That she sees affecting the lives of others while she's in the temple, right? And why is she doing these things? Because the end of all things is at hand. And she knows that. Not just for her life, but the Messiah that's coming, right? Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 17 through 20. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 17 through 20. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly and to make known the mystery of the gospel. Right? So here we have Anna taking this principle and putting it into practice, right? She is praying ahead of time because of what's coming. She is watching with perseverance and she's praying for utterance, right? Do you pray for your pastor? Man, his messages are so boring, right? Well, do you pray that the Lord would give him the messages we need? Sunday school, my Sunday school teacher gets so confused all the time. Why doesn't he spend time and actually figure stuff out? Do you pray for your Sunday school teacher? That he would rightly divide the things of your word, of the word of God for you so you can learn something, right? Rather than being prideful about what you know, right? That's what she's doing. That's what she's putting into practice. Because, you know, she's watching for the Messiah, and when she sees him, when she comes in, she sees him, and instantly, that's him, and gives God a glory and tells everybody else around her about him, right? That's what's happening there. How does she know that? She's been watching for that, and she's been praying for that this whole time. She has taken prayer from a defensive tool to an offensive weapon. She's praying ahead of time for things, right? Praying for who's filling in on Sunday, right? And the messages that they're going to bring. Are you praying for them? Do you even care who fills in? Nope, because I'm here. It's 9:30. Sunday school starts. Teach me. 10:30, all right, stand up, sit down, sing, chuck it in the offering. Okay, 40 minutes left. Go, preacher. Done. Check. I went to church. I'm a good Christian, right? What's happening to you? You are going to die, right? Satan is going to pick you off. You're going to die, right? You're hanging upside down in a tree by one of your feet. That's what's happening there. Okay, back to Luke chapter 2, verse 38. I mentioned this just a minute ago. Luke chapter 2, verse 38. And coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. That instant, because she was watching. Now, it's interesting. Because she has to be aware of these things. And it's funny, the things that we're reading in later on in Luke, they weren't written down for Anna. But yet she has these tools. She knows these things. And that instant, because she saw a result to her prayer. Right? That's the interesting thing with the prayer list that we have is compared, now this is a nice light prayer sheet, right? But there are prayer requests on them. We do have a praise. Good job for the Taylors. The youth conference went very well on Saturday. Thank you for your prayers, right? If we prayed for it, right? But where's the results, right? We pray for unspokens. You can praise an unspoken, right? Where's the praise? Where's the thanks? We don't have that. Why not? Right? Likewise, she came in that instant giving thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Israel. I know there are people in here that if something good happens to them, I bet a coworker is gonna know that, hey, did you know what the Lord did for me? You know how this happened? Let me tell you what God did. My grandmother that Amber gets her middle name from was one of those types of people that it flips it around. You got this amazing whatever happened to you. God did that, right? Do you know how God worked this out in my life? Right? And that's what she does. So how does this apply to us, right? Are we watching? Are we watching for prayer needs? And are we watching for prayer results? Or do we just put it on the list and I hope somebody prays for it and God takes care of it, right? Are we watching for those results? Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2 says, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Right? We should be watching for results so we can thank God for them, right? Oftentimes we'll pray for safety to and from work, right? On the roads, whatever, safety in a game that we're going to play. Well, that's great. Did we then thank God when it was done that we got home safely or that nobody got hurt during the game? No. Why not? What do we see in the church, right? What do we hear in the church, right? What do we see? Do we notice when a visitor comes in? Do we pray for their soul while they're here? Lord, pray that a pastor's message would speak to them. Pray that somebody would be nice to them, right? What do we hear in the church? Now, tonight has been surprisingly quiet, but on Sunday, have you ever heard anybody cough? Right? Why? Do you know how much sickness has been around? Do we pray for them? Right? I don't know. I was talking to Mrs. Zimmerman on Sunday. I don't know if you've noticed this, but there are three people injured in our choir from falls. How many people fall that often and are all in the same group? Why is that? What is Satan trying to do? Right? Do you pray for your choir? Man, I hope they don't stink on Sunday. Right? Whatever. Make that lazy director better. I don't know. Whatever. Whatever. Are you praying for them? Are you praying for your pianist? Are you praying for poor Trisha? Right? Because guess who's taken a lot of that burden? Right? So, Trisha, is that your plan when you were six and taking piano lessons? You know, when I get to be older, I'm going to push the pianist on some ice so she can't play, and I will take over the world. Right? No, that's not her intention at all. But think about what God has done. Adrian's mentioned before the number of pianists that we have in a church. Do you know how many churches have, if that happens to their church pianist, there is no music for the next month. Done. Right? But what has God done here? Do we thank him for that? Besides praying for Abby. Right? There's all those pieces. And those are big pieces. Those are big, visible pieces. Think about the little kids running around here. Annoying little monsters. Right? Do we pray for their parents? Lord, help them to take care of their annoying little monster. Right? No. But on the flip side, what do we hear? Right? I was in a conversation with a group Sunday night, right? Talking about Bible stuff. I know it sounds spiritual. And there was a young lady who was talking about a Bible story and another filled in details. Like just pow, right off her head. And I won't tell you it was Bella, but she just pow, right off her head. And there were some questions as to whether she was right or not. So we look it up and guess who's right? Right? Now think about that. Do we pray for the Bible knowledge of our children? Hopefully. Do we pray that they use it rightly? Yeah. Do we pray that she takes that and grows? Right? And not be prideful about it. Right? Do we pray about what the Lord is preparing her for? No, not my kid. I don't care. Oh, okay. Well, then we're not like Anna, are we? Pastor Fred mentioned how he goes up and down the aisles now because it's probably easier than kneeling, right? That's just life. Feel that pain, right? What need does the person have? What the kids, what needs do they have? What is God going to do in Bella's life? Sarah is graduating from college in 2 months. Who allowed that? Right? But what is God now going to do in her life? Because guess what? All the easy stuff is done. Right? All the knowing what's next in your life. Well, I got another year of school. I got another year of school and more school. No, school's done. And now what? Who's she going to marry? Is she going to get married? To what type of person? Right? The things that we see, the things that we hear. I don't know if you know this or not, but there was somebody in this church that was walking around with a bandage on her hand on Sunday. Can we pray for her? Because somebody knows who that was. Darlene thinks she's so smart. Right? But oftentimes, what Anna has is watching. She's watching. She sees the little things. She hears the little things. Why? Because she's walking. She understands the importance of prayer and how it affects somebody's life. What happens if nobody prays for you? You know, I really wonder what happens, and it'd be interesting to see what happens to the temple church in Jerusalem when Anna died. What happened to the lives of those people? Right? I think we probably all know somebody we consider to be a prayer warrior. I wonder what happened when my grandma Elizabeth died. And how that affected the lives of people that they have no clue about. Right? Who was it that was just here, and they were saying how they felt most recently how the prayers of people that helped them. Coax, yes. What if we didn't pray for him? What if we don't pray for him? What happens? the unseen that God directs in, then he goes, well, why don't you care as a church? Right? So those types of things. Watching. There's several verses that we've covered tonight. And it goes watching and prayer. Not the other way around. Watch first. What do you see? And how does that affect your prayer life? All right, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that you've given us, Lord. We thank you for the opportunity that we've had to look into your word tonight, Lord. Pray that you'd guide and direct in the hearts and minds of people and the things that we've covered tonight and how they can take those things and pay attention and watch and be aware and be sober and be vigilant in the avenue of prayer, Lord, and how that can greatly affect things in their lives and in the lives of others, Lord. Pray now that you'd give us safety as we go home. Pray that you'd watch over us. Pray that we would be thankful for that safety as well, Lord. And we just pray all these things in Christ's name.